Michael Tolland lay motionless, taking stock of his bruises. He was battered, but he sensed no broken bones. He had little doubt that gel-filled Mark IX had saved him any substantial trauma. As he opened his eyes, his thoughts were slow to focus. Everything seemed softer here, quieter. The wind still howled, but with less ferocity. We went over the edge, didn't we? Focusing, Tolland found he was lying on ice, draped across Rachel Sexton, almost at right angles, their locked carabiners twisted. He could feel her breathing beneath him, but he couldn't see her face. He rolled off her, his muscles barely responding. Rachel! Tolland wasn't sure if his lips were making sound or not. Tolland recalled the final seconds of their harrowing ride. The upward drag of the balloon, the payload cables snapping, their bodies plummeting down the far side of the berm, sliding up and over the final mound, skimming toward the edge, the ice running out. Tolland and Rachel had fallen, but the fall had been oddly short. Rather than the expected plunge to the sea, they had fallen only 10 feet or so before hitting another slab of ice and sliding to a stop with the dead weight of Corky in tow. Now, raising his head, Tolland looked toward the sea. Not far away, the ice ended in a sheer cliff, beyond which he could hear the sounds of the ocean. Looking back up the glacier, Tolland strained to see into the night. 20 yards back, his eyes met a high wall of ice, which seemed to hang above them. It was then that he realized what had happened. Somehow they had slid off the main glacier onto a lower terrace of ice. This section was flat, as large as a hockey rink, and had partially collapsed, preparing to cleave off into the ocean at any moment. Ice calving, Tolland thought, eyeing the precarious platform of ice on which he was now lying. It was a broad, square slab that hung off the glacier like a colossal balcony, surrounded on three sides by precipices to the ocean. The sheet of ice was attached to the glacier only at its back, and Tolland could see the connection was anything but permanent. The boundary where the lower terrace clung to the Milne ice shelf was marked by a gaping pressure fissure almost 4 feet across. Gravity was well on its way to winning this battle. Almost more frightening than seeing the fissure was Tolland seeing the motionless body of Corky Marlinson crumpled on the ice. Corky lay 10 yards away at the end of a taut tether attached to them. Tolland tried to stand up, but he was still attached to Rachel. Repositioning himself, he began detaching their interlocking carabiners. Rachel looked weak as she tried to sit up. "We didn't go over?" Her voice was bewildered. "We fell onto a lower block of ice," Tolland said, finally unfastening himself from her. "I gotta help Corky." Painfully, Tolland attempted to stand, but his legs felt feeble. He grabbed the tether and heaved. Corky began sliding toward them across the ice. After a dozen or so pulls, Corky was lying on the ice a few feet away. Corky Marlinson looked beaten. He lost his goggles, suffered a bad cut on his cheek, and his nose was bleeding. Tolland's worries that Corky might be dead were quickly allayed when Corky rolled over and looked at Tolland with an angry glare.
"Jesus!" he stammered. "What the hell was that little trick?"
Tolland felt a wave of relief. Rachel sat up now, wincing. She looked around.
"We need to get off here. This block of ice looks like it's about to fall."
Tolland couldn't have agreed more. The only question was how. They had no time to consider a solution. A familiar high-pitched whir became audible above them on the glacier. Tolland's gaze shot up to see two white-clad figures ski effortlessly up onto the edge and stop in unison. The two men stood there a moment, peering down at their battered prey, like chess masters savoring checkmate before the final kill.